Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Neutral Game Podcast, your newbie-friendly fighting game podcast. I'm Mirdrug, aka Real Soviet Bear, and with me is Six. Hello, Six.
Hey, how's it going, Mirdrug?
Going well. I'm ready to hashtag embrace death.
Man, I do that every single day I get out of bed.
Well, I meant more like in video game forms.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought we were going to get real and talk about our feelings. I'm sorry.
No, SNK has been doing hashtag embrace death, and it took off. It was trending, so good job on them, good job on the marketing team. But we're here to talk about the thing they wanted us to embrace death with, and that was Samurai Showdown. I make it sound like very fatalistic, like this is the last game you'll play and then you'll die.
I mean, I think, as we'll talk about, The real secret behind the embrace death is that that's the mentality you need to have to succeed in this game.
Yes, it is a very smart marketing campaign, but let's start with what is Samurai Showdown. We talked about Samurai Showdown a few episodes back when we did our retro game episode and we played Samurai Showdown 3. Mm-hmm. And that had some mixed takeaways because that entry was kind of glitchy, kind of buggy, and kind of weird. But not so much this time. So this is an old SNK franchise, probably their biggest fighting game franchise after King of Fighters, I'd say. I think more people know about Samurai Showdown than, say, Fatal Fury. Like, Fatal Fury kind of got assimilated by King of Fighters.
Yeah, I definitely think that's true. And also, that was the case for some other franchises as well, like Art of Fighting and stuff. They all got sort of slurped into King of Fighters, but Samurai Showdown has remained independent of that.
Yeah, and the last 2D entry of Samurai Showdown was Samurai Showdown 6 in 2005. And the last 3D entry, because there was a 3D spinoff, was Samurai Showdown Edge of Destiny, aka Samurai Showdown Sin, in 2009. Think 6 was pretty well received. It was kind of like this non-canon dream match mishmash, but I think the last like big tournament level Samurai Showdown is like 5 special.
Mm-hmm.
Could be wrong on that. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, you hear a lot of talk about 5 special, so I definitely think that's the last one that the core audience really connected with.
Yeah, whereas the 3D ones were really not good. I've never played them. I've seen some footage of it, and it looks like a budget Soul Calibur. Mm. But this current Samurai Showdown, while it uses 3D graphics, it is on a 2D plane, so it's 2.5D fighter. And I guess the easiest way to describe Samurai Showdown is Street Fighter with weapons. Particularly bladed and blunt weapons, not firearms.
Mm-hmm. There's a heavy focus on spacing and footsies, and it's very much a game of, like, patience and calling your shot.
Yeah. For those who kind of don't know, when Street Fighter came out and when all sorts of fighting games kind of took up the Street Fighter format of, you know, rounds, health bars, and how everything works. There was kind of this divergence between combo-heavy games and games with heavy hits. Obviously, looking at back like at the last maybe decade, the games with combo focuses and longer fights kind of took off. Why is kind of anyone's guess? My guess is that it's probably because your quarter is going to last longer in the arcades if you have longer fights. But Samurai Showdown was one of the few games that went more along the lines of heavy hits, lethal fights, over in a blink of an eye if you're really good. And I guess this new one kind of follows that tradition. It's very old school. How did you feel about it overall?
This is one of the things I want to get into later, and I should have added to the notes, and I forgot. Samurai Shonen has made me come to some realizations about how I feel about fighting games and what I like in fighting games, because this is such a different game from what's popular these days and what I have kind of, like, it is of the games I have, you know, like, in my fighting game way grown up on, it's the most similar to Street Fighter 4, but that's even not that great of a comparison. Because I have grown up in the era, like, I got into fighting games with Super Street Fighter 4. I was, in a fighting game sense, raised in the era of anime fighters. And for me, it's weird because I'm seeing... This isn't... I thought of games like this as just being an old style of game. Like, yeah. I thought of this as being like, oh, the Street Fighter 2s, oh, you know, the Samurai Showdowns, oh, the Art of Fightings, these games where they had this kind of dynamic. And it is strange and surprising to me to see that you can modernize it and it works.
We'll definitely go more into that. I was about to do a comparison, but I promised you I wouldn't do it, so...
No, I want to be able to chew you out for it.
Look, it is essentially like the new Doom. Like, it is a pure return to fighting games in a way that Doom is just a pure return to just FPS.
Okay, I appreciate that side of it. On the other hand, Doom 2016 is like a high-budget, like, complete package that, like, manages to capture the charm of the original while also bringing in things from the new genre. Whereas this is, like modern graphics, old game... that's incredibly sparse in its feature set and has a lot of problems.
So it's like Dusk.
Sure, there we go. We got it.
Yeah, we got it. Episode's over. Everybody pack up. We're done. Okay, so let's go more into detail on how Samurai Showdown actually plays. So as I said, it's all about the big damage. This is one of those games where a normal... heavy hit, so you have your standard like light, medium, heavies, and you have kicks. The heavy hit will do like a quarter, maybe more, depending on the character, of your health. It is extremely punishing, and by comparison, special moves do far, far less damage, and they're kind of more like a zoning, spacing, or punishing tool in a way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's very inverted from what you traditionally think of as fighting games, how they work, right? Because in most fighting games, it's like your normals are used for like fishing and for finding opportunities, and then you use special moves once you've gotten the hit to get the real damage. Often in this game, special moves are used to cover angles you wouldn't be able to, or to keep yourself safe.
Yes, and it's kind of, it doesn't have like this, you know, okay, now the specials are like the little moves and the normals are the big moves. It's more along the lines of your light, medium, and heavy are your weapon moves. So it's kind of categorized between weapon buttons, specials, and your kick. Like your kick is a normal, but it does very little damage, but it also comes out really fast. Mm-hmm. So it kind of like goes on the category, oh, if somebody hit you, you know, or like over the chest with a sword, you would probably... well, be dead, but in this game, you're almost dead. It's probably not as brutal as something like Bushido Blade, but it's very jarring if you've played a lot of other fighting games, or modern fighter games.
Mm-hmm.
And another way it kind of also stands out is that there are a lot of defensive options in Samurai Showdown. Definitely feels like there are more defensive than offensive tools, and even the offensive tools that you have are almost used as kind of like a reversal or in a way of defensive tool. So kind of explain to, you have your standard blocking, so blocking with back. You have a parry, and you can parry any weapon-based move that hits medium or high. And if you parry a heavy normal move, then you disarm your opponent. So there's like even that as an option. You can dodge, so the dodge is essentially just a sidestep and you can avoid basically anything, whether it's like a throw, a projectile, a swing, whatever. Your character steps to the side, then ignores everything for like a few frames. And there's stuff like while you're disarmed, you can disarm the opponent as well. So it's essentially, you're kind of trying to pierce through some of these defenses and kind of bait them out in a way. Mm-hmm. Another very, like for example, like a lot of like the offensive moves are very unsafe. So like, let's say, you know, I attack you with a heavy swing and you block it, you have enough time to punish my heavy swing with something very damaging.
It's also interesting because this is even represented in animation. Because, like, let's say you're playing, let's go with something I'm familiar with, right? You're playing Dragon Ball, and you do a heavy that's unsafe on block. The way that's represented is just like you throw your punch, and they block, and then they stop blocking, and your fist is still there, right?
Yeah.
The way it works in this game is if you block, like, if you, for instance, if you block a heavy, it's not like their sword just stays there. Their sword bounces off, and there's this animation of them, like, staggering back and trying to catch their balance. It's very telegraphed of, like, look at how unsafe they are right now.
Yeah. But then there's, like, this extra layer where, depending on which move is blocked, like, for example, some characters, if you block their medium, while their sword bounces, like, away and they're kind of staggered, they can actually cancel that stagger animation into some specials. Mm-hmm. So you can have this very weird situation where somebody intentionally attacks you with something unsafe because they want you to try to punish them, and then they actually punish you back with a, like, DP or, like, any other special, like a Dragon Punch, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's a very strange dynamic, and definitely feels like it's very hard to explain. Like you said, like in Dragon Ball, the dynamic is like, oh, okay, somebody blocks, and then you, like, hit back. But in this one, you're almost just trying to goad the opponent into opening up, or trying to attack you so you can kind of attack back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, I've seen some high-level play of this. I've watched some, like, a few, like, Twitch streams of people who are really good. I guess probably they'll end up being pros, because this game's gonna be at Evo. And it's very much like when you watch old-school Street Fighter players play, where they're, like, shimmying back and forth and not throwing a move, right? Where, like, the act of taking a step forward is an aggressive act.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And it's really fascinating to watch, and it's way more, there's way more going on psychologically than there is going actively in the screen, and I really enjoy that about it.
Yeah, and now, like describing this, you'd kind of, like, assume that, you know, if moves do a lot of damage, you only need a few hits to kind of kill somebody, that the matches are very quick. But actually, I found that when you play, like on a lower level, and then, like, kind of both opponents kind of learn how to get around the game, the matches actually get pretty close to timing out very often. Mm-hmm. Because everybody's so hesitant of exposing themselves, because if you want to go for big damage, you're taking a high risk, so you really need to make sure that that risk is going to pay off. Mm-hmm. And then in addition to, you know, the regular base mechanics, like, we didn't go over, like, exactly everything, there's also, like, throwing as well, and there's no throw tech, which is kind of weird, but when you throw somebody, you don't actually do damage. You just kind of shove them and leave them exposed for a follow-up attack. But aside from these, like, base mechanics, there's also a rage meter. And how this one works is it's actually a bit different from, like, your standard issue super meters. You have this rage meter that appears, that fills up as you take damage, or if you manage to instant block an attack, so, like, if you block at the last possible moment, then your rage meter also increases. And when this rage meter is full, you enter automatically, like, this kind of enraged state. And in this enraged state, you do more damage. And some of your moves have additional properties, which moves that depends on the actual character, like it's a list and the command list, that which moves are enhanced. So they kind of end up in this EX mode. For example, like Galford, the ninja with the dog, his dog, when he attacks you, he just hits into you, like he kind of like rushes into you and hits you with his head. But if you're enraged, then that move becomes an Izuna drop, and the dog actually grabs you, throws you into the air, and then slams you in a lightning strike. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like stuff like that.
Or even just more subtle, where it's like his B version of that. Normally, the dog runs up to you and just starts, like, biting you in the leg over and over, and you can't follow that up, or at least or you can do it from very close. But during rage, you have plenty of time to run up and continue a combo off of that.
Yeah, sometimes like solo stuff like that as well. And this rage state lasts for a certain amount of time, and after that, it just, the entire bar depletes after a certain moment, then you have to fill it up again. How it actually depletes, I'm not 100% sure of yet. I don't know if it's fixed timer. It seems to vary based on how aggressive you are. I'm not entirely sure. But one other thing you can do when your rage meter is full is you can do a disarm super, which is this flashy super that does a lot of damage, and also disarms your opponent. So they lose their weapon, and when you don't have your weapon, you're essentially relegated to a certain set of specials, which depends on the character. Some have more options on arm than others, but you are essentially at a massive disadvantage until you go and pick up your weapon again. And then one thing you can do with your meter, at any point in the match, you can enter Rage Burst. So what happens is when you enter Rage Burst, your character does the standard Guilty Gear style like burst where they push away their opponent. You can enter Rage Burst at any time, even while you are taking damage. You push your opponent away, and you enter the timer freezes, and you have a duration that depends on how filled up your rage meter was beforehand, and all your moves are enhanced. You can do as many weapon disarms as you want, but also you have access to a new special move, which is like the Lightning Super or the Isin, something along those lines, which is this near instant dash forward where you do this samurai anime slice and your opponent just bursts into blood and they take massive damage. Like, I've seen that attack do like 80% of people's health bars.
Yeah, it erases people just straight up.
But once you enter Rage Burst, regardless whether you use your Lightning Super, whether you win the round or not, after Rage Burst is over, you no longer have a rage bar at all. So that means you will never have access to disarm supers again, or enhanced specials, and you'll be at a quite big disadvantage for the rest of the match. And then there's also, because there's not enough supers in this game, there's also a third super type, which is the, I'm not sure what they're called, something like very long, like special super or ultimate special move. Basically, it's a once per match super that you can use at any time, at any point. You can literally use it at the start of the match. It is extremely slow, so like you can poke it out. It is extremely unsafe, so it can be heavily punished if you whiff. But if it hits, it also does something like 80% of the health bar, like 70%. It's still also something ridiculous.
The other thing I want to note as far as disarming this, I mostly bring this up because we talked about it on the previous Samurai Showdown episode. There is the sword clash mechanic in this game again, where like if certain types of moves clash, then you go into like the blade lock and you mash buttons. In Samurai Showdown 5 and also or 3, excuse me, 2 and 3, and probably all the way through 6, I would guess, but I don't know for a fact. The result was random. Hitting buttons actually didn't do anything. I don't know that anyone's data mined to get hard data, but in my experimentation, it seems like button mashing is actually real here. I did varying levels of button mashing. I intentionally didn't button mash several times against you, and every time I didn't take it seriously, I lost. And the one time I pianoed the fuck out of it, I won.
And how the clash happens is also very restricted. So it can't happen if it's if any player is below a certain amount of health. I think if it's like if you're below 30%, it will never happen. If the timer has like 30 seconds or 20 seconds or less left, it'll never happen, and it can only happen once per match. So they say this in a tutorial, and it is literally there, to it's literally there as a safeguard to not screw you over, so you never go, "Oh, I lost because of this random clash mechanic. This feels really bad. It's like Danger Time in Guilty Gear." Instead, what they want you to do is, "Oh my god, Isin is a really bad mechanic. I hate it." We'll go more into that later. I think that's like most of the mechanics. Again, it plays very old school. lots of spacing, lots of very hard reads. Like, if you've ever, you know how people go like, oh, I hate combos, I just want to read my opponent, I just want to play better than them, you know, just like make a proper call. This is pretty much the closest to that kind of game I've ever seen. But we'll go more into detail about that later. Let's talk about the cast, the set of fighters we play as, and how do you in general feel about your choice of characters, like both visually and in general, like play style wise?
So I would say it's a step above Street Fighter, but I would say it's in the same vein, where I feel like a lot of them are stereotypes in a way I don't necessarily appreciate. Like, there's a guy who's the Aztec guy, and he's big and shirtless and throws skulls and screams. And it's like, okay, great. I love Killer Instinct. and, like, I mean, there are, especially, like, you know, there's the one you play, Darla Dagger. Well, one of the characters you play. I think she's great. I think some of the old samurai characters are great. But it's a very mixed bag. There's some characters that feel very one note. I settled on Kibagami Genjiro. And this is another one where getting into what I've realized about myself is that I just kind of like to play big idiots. I like to play like a dumbass. And his Rekkas, like, depending on the buttons you press while doing Rekkas, you can choose basically to side switch. And that was basically my game plan. It's just like these big, like, doing not that much damage because they're specials, but just like constantly hitting from left or right, and you had to guess left, right. And I thought he was very fun, but I also felt like he was not playing Samurai Showdown in the way that everybody else was.
Early game right now, like, a lot, I've heard talks that people say that he's probably one of the strongest characters right now because he's not playing Samurai Showdown. He's just, like, basically going like a wrecking ball through the entire fucking cast.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess makes sense because you have all these characters who are, you know, about spacing, about hard reads and everything, and then Genjiro just, like, walks in and destroys them. But yeah, I do like, I do think, like, the choice of playstyles, I went through every character, in training mode just to see what kind of moves they have and how they play. And it does feel that they try to cover as many bases as possible, in terms of actual playstyles and giving you kind of alternate choices. Like, if you want to play a character that has a lot of specials, you have, I think Yoshitora, if you want to play a character, like, if you want to play a ninja, you have both Hanzo and Galfer who play quite differently. And then, like, Genjiro is kind of like the more direct character. Charlotte, if you want to play more spacing. So they kind of try and cover as many bases. They even added with the new characters, I can't remember her name, but the, like, Chinese scientist lady. Like, she's a full-on zoner, like, setting traps, covering different parts of the screen. So they went out of their way to make sure that if you want to play Samurai Showdown, there are many different ways to play it.
I feel like the only bummer in that sense is that I feel like there's some balance problems with the game. So Wu Ru Shang is the Chinese lady. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, I haven't seen the tier list. I assume you've checked some stuff out. She just feels really weak.
She does.
And then there's like, you know, as you say, like, Genjiro seems a little ridiculous. Mr. Six Swords feels kind of too good. It feels like there's some real inconsistency in the balance here. And, I don't necessarily think, like, I'm not going to condemn the game for that. I've played plenty of games where the balance is bad and that's, or not great, and that's a thing that they work on, and also it's fine. But it does feel kind of frustrating when it's so much that each character represents a different kind of playstyle, and because they're so distinct like that, that means that there are some playstyles that are just inferior.
I think a lot of it is also like it's very early days, which is why also Genjiro might seem very strong, like because
Sure.
you have this entire game plan and you have this character who just doesn't care about that game plan. And obviously like, he'll be stronger. I think a lot of it will depend how people play it. I think like the first Evo tournament might probably be the best indicator. Definitely some characters do feel much weaker. Like I think Shiki is pretty bad. But also like everybody, like not everybody, but a lot of characters have some kind of weird broken stuff about them. Like Yoshitora is like pretty much a scrub destroyer. And like Jubei, he seems pretty solid, but like his parries are ridiculously damaging. Like it's a quarter of a health bar. So I think everybody kind of like not everybody, but like some characters have like this kind of like this little thing they can do that's pretty good. Like Charlotte has some normals and that are just ridiculous. But yeah, it's the first Samurai Shodown in a while. I'm pretty sure they're gonna be doing balance patches. I kind of feel like balancing something like Samurai Shodown is completely different to King of Fighters 14, so they probably need to, get their feet wet as well. So I'm willing to give them a benefit of the doubt for now.
And also, I mean, like, since this is, like, SNK's sort of revival, this is their second 3D fighter, as you say. Coming from King of Fighters 14, this is such a step up to me.
Well, technically, it's the third if we count SNK Heroines.
That's true. That's true. It's okay. Okay, if the line is from 14 to SNK Heroines to Samurai Showdown. From Heroines to this is actually a staggering step up. You wouldn't believe it was the same company.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And even like visually, this game looks so much better than a video footage suggests. Like in the videos, I was kind of like, oh, okay, this is gonna be along the lines of, KOF 14 after the patch, maybe. But in motion, this game looks really good. Like, there's a lot of subtle texture work on the characters, like how their skin looks, how the fabrics look. It's stylized in a way that I think video compression kind of messes it up. And also, screenshots don't really do it justice. But when you actually see it, like, on a proper TV screen, it looks really, really nice.
It's also a bit inconsistent, right? There are some characters who don't look as good. There are definitely backgrounds that don't look as good. Like, I mean, I think the Galleon ship, the background of that is just a bunch of like barely animating, like not well rendered NPCs, and it doesn't look great. But like there's the other one where it's like the field of wheat under moonlight, and it looks fucking incredible.
Yeah, some of the stages are really, really good. Like the Kabuki stage, if you ignore the audience in the corner of the screen, which are pretty simply rendered, but the actual stage looks really nice.
Yeah, there's some very beautiful stuff in this game, actually. As you say again, I hate to keep repeating what you're saying, but like if you're purely judging this based on the video, know that that doesn't tell the whole picture. It does feel different in your hands and you're in front of your eyes.
Yeah. So tell me, who you said you picked up Genjiro. Were there any other characters you enjoyed playing?
I mean, so I did like Jubei, okay. I do enjoy Galford a bit, but like I am having trouble clicking with the cast, I guess. And this is something that, like, this has been true for me for all of Samurai Showdown. It's just not. I don't know, the one fighting style that I really like that's represented here is Iaido, and that's Ukyo, and I don't like Ukyo. So I don't know. It's a situation where perhaps my history with the series is preventing me from seeing these characters with new eyes and giving them a real shot. I'm hopeful that the DLC will be kinder to me because within the first couple of weeks of release, the season pass was available for free, so I will be getting all those characters, which is nice.
Yeah. Well, the last one is a big dude with a stone pillar, so there's a good chance you might like them.
I mean, if he's got command throws and armor, then I'll be here for it.
Yeah, I mostly played Darley at the start, and then when I kind of learned the basics of the game, I just realized I really don't like her tools, and I also don't I think she's I think the way they balanced her was very fearful. Like, it feels like they were too worried to make her too good, so they made her a bit lacking in some areas.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of moved back to Charlotte, who, like, she is, like, as a personality, I would never play her because she's super annoying and full of herself, but in terms of her moves, she has much more options, so that is kind of helping me learn the game better, I think.
Also, speaking of Charlotte and also the art being better than you might think, Charlotte's stage is a castle with a massive painting of the rest of the cast, like, kneeling before Charlotte, savior of samurai kind, and it's amazing.
Yeah, Charlotte is the typical arrogant French noble. So, also, I've noticed, like she... there's a lot of characters who just laugh after they win, and I think her laugh is kind of the most cocky one.
I mean, yeah, she's got a real Ojo-sama, you know, foo-foo-foo kind of laugh.
So yeah, it's, yeah.
The game knows that she sucks in a way that I think is great.
Yeah, definitely. But we're going to talk about how our matches went, but before we do, since we talked during Mortal Kombat 11 a lot about the single-player content, we're probably going to talk in Samurai about Samurai Showdown single-player content far less, because there isn't really any.
Yeah, there's a story mode, there's a tutorial mode, and then there's sort of a ghost mode, which I, you know, as like the shadow whatever mode from Killer Instinct, or like the weird like profiles they did in Ultimate Marvel 3, where it's like, you know, based on someone's playstyle, it develops like a dry avatar of you and gives it a sword. That mode, I'll touch on that mode first because I feel like there's the least to say about it. It's fine, I guess. I don't really feel like there's much to it.
I guess it's good in the way that if you're ever worried that this game's online community might die out, at least you can play against ghosts, I guess.
People are gonna be like no one plays it anymore, it's a ghost town, and you're like, yeah, but it's a ghost town.
Yeah, I only realized that as I was saying it, but yes. Yeah, I actually haven't touched that mode at all. I just read a few tweets on release day where people said, yeah, it's kind of busted, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm not gonna touch it then, and I completely forgot about it until I was making notes today.
Yeah, I messed with it a little bit, and it's just sort of like, I get, like, the thing is, I didn't have any, like, ghosts for anyone I knew, so it's like, it was hard to fact check, but it's like, maybe this person likes jumping a lot? Maybe this person likes not blocking? I don't understand what's supposed to be conveyed here.
Yeah. But there was a story mode, and it is extremely bare bones. It is literally the classic style of pick a character, here's an intro cinematic, fight a bunch of people. Okay, now you're gonna fight a person with a unique intro because that's your rival. Okay, now you're gonna fight a very weird SNK boss, which just is kind of there and you're really sure why they're there or what's going on, and then you'll beat them and there's a unique cinematic, well, not a unique cinematic, there's a generic cinematic and then a unique epilogue, and that's that. Good job, player.
So I did, I've only done Genjiro's story, and as a person who doesn't know the series' is like lore that well, when I found out his fated rival was Shiki, and basically their interaction was just him being like, why do you got your boobs out? And she was like, shut up, and then they fought. I was like, that's the one story justification for a fight you could have? Like, that's like, this is the one moment of story he gets?
That's far worse than I play with Ukyo and Darley, and Darley was, oh, I'm looking for a masked man who fucked up my ship, and then she thinks the masked man is Tam Tam, and then she beats up Tam Tam, and it's like, oh, it's actually not him. And then you fight the final boss.
Classic fighting game trope, though, right? Where it's like, oh, like, I'm looking for someone who uses a red sword. Oh, this person uses a red sword. And then you beat him up, and then it wasn't them.
Yeah.
Very, very traditional.
I actually do not remember who Ukyo's rival was.
I mean, I would guess that it's fucking Haomaru, just because they're, like, traditionally opposed, but...
Maybe, I don't know. I know his story was so dumb. I abstain from making him my main after that story. Because his story was, he's dying, and he's been dying in the entire Samurai Showdown. He has tuberculosis, there's no cure, his days are counted, that's it. And he's looking for the perfect flower for his beloved. And that's the story. He's on a journey to find the perfect flower for his girlfriend.
Genjiro doesn't really have a story. Genjiro's thing opens with him being like, he was gambling, and then he lost, and he was grouchy, so he left. And then it's just like, okay, then why is he... Okay? And then he shows up, and he's like, Shiki, put a shirt on! And then you fight the boss.
Yeah. Yeah. And the boss is like... So I wonder, because I played two quote-unquote good characters. When Genjiro beats the final boss, is she all like, oh, you taught me that there's still kindness in the world, it's all not all just despair?
Does she have that? I don't even remember.
Because, like, the entire boss's shtick is this, like, lady who refuses to pass on to the afterlife, and she becomes this vengeful spirit. And then you get to the final boss and you beat her, and it's like a gimmick boss fight. It's like in Blaze Blue, how they have in the final story mode, like, bosses that are just impossible to be playable. It's not an actual character, it's just like a thing that you punch a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you beat the boss, and she turns from this, like, you know, Sadako-style, black hair over my face, I am evil type of person to, oh, my skin is clear, my vision is fine, everything is cool. And then she goes like, oh, thank you. You taught me that it wasn't just suffering in life. There were nice things in life I can pass on to the afterlife with a clear conscience now. And she just fucks off.
Mm-hmm.
And then the tree she was under is very pretty, and both characters I played as commented, wow, this is a really nice view. These flowers are really nice.
I want to believe, because I may have accidentally skipped the cutscene now that I think about it. Because I was really not having fun with that boss fight, and I just wanted it to end. I want to believe, since I don't remember in the slightest and might have not seen it, that Genjiro beats her up, and then she's like, oh, I'm ready to pass on. And as she leaves, Genjiro's like, and put her shirt on.
Probably was. She did not have a shirt when she talked to me in the cutscenes. Yeah, so.
She was lacking a shirt, and apparently Genjiro's not a fan of that.
Ironic, considering he doesn't wear a shirt.
Well, he's a man. It's different.
Some double standards there.
Well, that's how you know he's a villain.
No, the lack of shirt is there so you can see the scar on his back, so everybody knows how edgy he is.
That's true, that's true. His kimonos really do, or not his kimonos, excuse me, his, his hakamas really do look sick, though. Some of the texture work on that is just really amazing.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, the story mode is actually really not good. They literally could have had a arcade mode, which, actually, no, it is arcade mode with a final boss and a cinematic, that's what it is. And... You know, to be fair, we did complain how a lot of the single-player content in Mortal Kombat was, like, there was a lot of it, but we didn't like the core game. And here, I feel like we both like the core game, but we don't really like the single-player content. I'd rather have this variant. But it is definitely...
For sure.
If you compare it to something like Guilty Gear or Blaze Blue or stuff like that, it is, like, super... super sparse in the content. It's much like lower budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Or maybe lower budget is like a bad way to put it. Like, I feel like all the art, all the the menus, how they look, like all of that looks very, very nice. Like, it doesn't look, nothing looks cheap, but it definitely looks like, oh, we did not have time to allocate resources to this.
Mm-hmm. It seems a little rushed. In a sense where it's like you feel like they got the core fighting action down. And, you know, SNK has not made a Samurai Showdown in a while, so I can imagine it took them a little bit to get back into the feel of things. And by the time they nailed it, they're like, okay, we just have to ship it.
That's also pretty clear with the tutorial, because the tutorial only goes over basic and advanced mechanics, which is basically just movement and special stuff that only Samurai Shodown has. And you can go through it, and it'll tell you how every single mechanic works, and that's about it. There's no character-specific tutorials. There's nothing to kind of tell you how you play Samurai Shodown, which I feel is going to be a big problem, because if you come into this playing it like, I don't know, an anime fighter or Mortal Kombat or Tekken, you're going to have a really bad time.
Yeah, for sure. And I think also, I mean, like, I like there are no combo challenges. There you can look at a move list in game or in tutorial, but like the move list doesn't really tell you what moves do. It just says like, okay, this is a move, basically. And sometimes it says like this will be enhanced by rage mode, and occasionally it'll be like, oh, this can only be done close or whatever. There is some data.
There's some data, but not enough. Like to give an
No, you're right.
example, like there's Jubei's move list. He has three different parries. It does not tell you which parry is for what. Like you have to actually go into training mode or play with someone and actually test it. Like, does it grab specials? Does it grab highs? Does it grab lows? Like, does it grab air moves? It tells you nothing. You just know it's a parry and that's it. And I think that's a shame. Like that's something that like the first Blaze Blue explained to you. Like, I feel at this point, like, you should tell people what a move does.
Yeah, I think especially with how different characters play, it's really discouraging how little information there is based on what they do. Like you can't try and pick up, you know, like you can't go from Haomaru to Ru Shang and think you're gonna get anything out of that because they're just such different characters. There's no point.
No, it is characters individually are easy to pick up, like in general, but there's very little transferable knowledge between actual characters. Anyway, we play a lot online, and I play a lot offline with a colleague. So, how did you feel when playing against an actual human being?
I felt well, I usually felt stupid because I it turns out after committing to making Dragon Ball my game, I need to run like it's you know let's go all Star Wars, right? It's like I'm picking up this game and it's like this is great. There's so much I already know and it's like and the game goes that just means so much more you have to unlearn because I love hitting buttons and I get destroyed. It was fun though. I feel like there's so much intent in everything that happens. You always feel like the thinking and the personality of the person you're playing against is really conveyed through their actions. The net code is kind of I like when it works, and when it doesn't, is mostly my experience.
Yeah, I'd definitely say, like, usually when you and I play fighting games online, like, it's been a very long time since we've played something and we went, wow, the netcode is bad. Like we started off with Blaze Blue Chrono Phantasma, and since then, like, almost everything has had a consistently good netcode.
Mortal Kombat had a little bit of trouble, but
Mortal Kombat had a little bit of trouble, but this is probably, like, it's the worst one we've had so far. But it's not like unplayable, it's just like it's noticeable. But this is, you know, your West Coast US, and I'm Northern Europe. But still, compared to like how we usually play, yeah, it's definitely noticeably a downgrade. As far as going playing with randoms, I've had some matches where the connection was really bad, and some matches where, like, I was playing with somebody from Britain and somebody from the US, at least by their location indicator, and it was like no lag whatsoever. So I guess it depends a lot who you're actually playing.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I think overall the net code is solid. I mean, like, I think, you know, a lot of the thing is that we mostly play Arxis fighting games, and Arxis is the best at net code in this business. So we are a little bit spoiled, I would say.
Yeah.
I think for the most part, this netcode will serve you well. It's not mind blowing, but I think it'll do what you need it to do.
Yeah, and I've played against people like cross continentally and were like fine.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be okay. If you have a decent connection, you should be okay.
I will say though that the online mode needs some restructuring and rethinking.
Yeah, the UI flow. I don't think I've ever mentioned it. Have I ever mentioned UI flow in this podcast? But like,
no, I don't think either of us have.
No, like the lobby system is really bad. Like the way you go from option to option and screen to screen is just like it flows really badly in a way that's not like a deal breaker, but it's really annoying. So to explain it, when you go into lobby mode, like how you switch between lobby settings is really like clunky. And then when you go into an actual lobby and start a lobby, everybody's in this idle queue. And then people have to individually slot into the what they call captain slot and the like challenger slot. But there's also like a viewer slot at the bottom, which is separate from the idle slot. So everybody has to manually actually move there. Like, you have to highlight that space and press a button. Then you go into it, and then you play a match. And then there's no rematch option, and there's no way to pick, like, oh, we want best of two, we want winner stays, we want loser stays, we want randomized, or whatever. No, it just kicks you back, and then it puts you in the idle section, and you have to re-slot yourself.
So, if there are only two people in a room, there are only two people, you play a match. You're like, great, that was a good match, let's play again. Any other fighting game, you hit X, you'll ready back up for the next match. In this game, after a match, if you hit X to ready up, at first it won't let you. And then once it does let you, hitting X will pull up your own PlayStation Network profile. On a PlayStation, of course, on a different system. I assume it would pull up a different profile. Maybe it would still pull up a PlayStation profile because it's a disaster.
Yeah, it's like they really need to fix that because, like, you know, On an average, on an hour, it feels like we probably lost four matches worth on just, like, the UI, not counting loading screens.
And I can count on one hand the number of times I've wanted to look at my own PlayStation profile while playing a game. Why would I want to do that? I already know who I am.
That's like the weird part. It's your PlayStation profile. It's not even your in-game profile. At least the in-game profile has information you might not be aware of.
Maybe I could send myself a friend request while I'm at it.
Yeah, no, it flows really badly. It's also, I can tell you offline, it's also really weird. Like, you start versus mode, and then when you start versus mode, you know how, like, the usual thing you do is you click versus and then you have that screen where you move connected controllers left or right so it picks who's who, like which side.
Sure.
So not in this game. No, in this game you started and then you have two windows, one left, one right, where, and then on those windows you have to pick who is player one, who is player two. So, for example, by default, and this is the weird setup we have. Like, I'm player one because I started the game, but I'm staying at the player two side, so I want to be on the right side. So what I have to do is, I have to change the setting on the left side to be CPU, and then my friend on the right side has to set it to player one, aka tell it player one is on the right because he's controlling the right window, and then I have to set it from CPU on the left to player two on the left, because you can't pick, like, it doesn't let you pick the other player if it's highlighted on the other side. It's really weird. And it's just, like, really, it's really weird. It almost feels like people haven't played, like, a fighting game on a console in, like years.
I think we both just strongly suspect that the case is that they were like, okay, we have to get this game out the door. And, like, refining the UI was not the priority.
Yeah, like, all the stuff we're complaining about, even the story mode, like, even though people don't usually actually know Street Fighter V tried to fix the story mode post-launch, even though usually you don't fix story modes post-launch, all of the things we're complaining about, they can be fixed post-launch. If your core game isn't good, that's much harder to fix.
Mm-hmm. And that's why no one still likes Street Fighter V. Well, not no one, but no one should.
Ooh, hot takes. I play a lot of offline. Definitely my friend who played a lot of Street Fighter 4 has the advantage because he is much more used to that and he is generally better at fighting games. And I think we both like it. Like at the start we were like, oh my god, this heavy does, so much damage. This is ridiculous. This makes no sense. But then afterwards matches started lasting longer. I think the only thing he and I agreed on in the end is we do not like the Lightning Super or the Isin. Like we both hate it. And it's kind of like it's not even that it's like a high damaging thing. Like you have like two other supers, the weapon super and the once per match super, which do a lot of damage. It's not even just that, it just like bogs down the match immediately. Like to kind of like kind of give you an idea of how punishing a lightning super is, if a person if you're in the rage burst mode and the opponent is is almost full screen away and does a move, you can punish that move. Like that's how fast it is. It just like rockets across the screen. And when one person enters lightning mode, it just bogs down the match because you can't really do anything, and they can try and run up to you and grab you, and then like combo from the grab into the lightning super, and it just like bogs down the match. And then if both people activate the rage burst mode and both are trying to like find an opening to do the lightning burst, it's just like you're better off turtling because whoever's more aggressive, if they mess up and don't bait properly, they lost the round. And if it's the last round, they lost the match. And I think the main part is like this is like, logistically speaking, like I don't wanna like sound like when like Tekken introduces supers and then everybody's like, oh my god, they're making it easy for casuals. This is like anytime I won with the Lightning Super, I never felt good. Like it never felt like not necessarily that I didn't deserve to win, but it's more like I'm not getting anything out of this win. And for my like friend as well, like whenever he won with lightning, like you have to use it because it's good, but whenever he won because of it, it was just like, yeah, like it doesn't really feel nice to win with this. It's just like really like ham-fisted.
Yeah, I feel like I would like it better if it was some kind of, I mean, like, I like the idea, right? And I like what it does, generally speaking, to like this, like, okay, when there's under certain conditions, the match could be over in an instant, right? But I feel like I want it to be like some kind of like super parry or something, right? Where it's like, if you like a parry with really specific timing, where it's like, if this meter is up, it's not like you pop it and you're in this mode and everything turtles up, but it's like, okay, if their bar is full and they know exactly what you're gonna do, they can counter it into Isin, and it's like, when you are really predictable at the wrong time, that makes the match end. I like the burst of death that it causes.
Yeah, because like when you enter a rage burst, you have infinite disarm supers. Like I feel like as far as offensive tools go, like you're okay. Like you do more damage, all your moves are enhanced. You don't really need the lightning super on top of that. I feel like yeah, if it was something like a parry, then it would be kind of like okay, I'm gonna be aggressive because this mode gives me more of an attack boost. But then it plays more into the oh well, I'm gonna bait out an attack because you're gonna try and punish my attacks, and I'm gonna bait that so I can do the like parry, like if Isin was a super parry.
And also, I feel like it leans more into the vibe they're going for. Like, what they're trying to evoke with the Isin, like, in terms of, like, cinematic and media history, isn't, like, a person just running at you and cutting you down. It's the samurai who's holding their cool, and then you make one run step and you're done.
So yeah, I don't really like it. I think it's genuinely an unsatisfying mechanic. Like it's not that it's like bad, it's just I don't feel good when I lose to it, which is, whatever. You lose so you feel bad. But I don't feel good winning with it. It's like the only time you can maybe feel good about it is if the other person popped it and then you like punish their Isin attempt by like baiting it out and blocking it and then like hitting them while they recover. But then you also just kind of realize, Yeah, but if they hadn't gone into ISIN mode, like, I wouldn't be forced to even, like, go into it either.
Well, and I had one instance where I found it satisfying, which was following up on a tip you gave me, where I was fighting someone who would have just straight up beaten me, but they were jumping too much. And I was like, oh, I know from talking to Miadrog that if I predict their jump, I can use this as a successful anti-air, and I wanna match with that. And that felt good because it was like, no, I knew what they were gonna do, and I punished them for being stupid.
Which, like I said, makes sense because, like, in general, when you punish in this game, it's for a lot of damage anyway. It's just that this one is a bit more than usual. But yeah, it's. I don't like it. That's probably the only mechanic in this game I'm really against. Like, even disarming, like, when you're disarmed, you're at such a disadvantage, but even that doesn't feel as bad. Especially because if you bring it back, like, you get, like, on this massive high, and also if you're disarmed, like, the burden is on your opponent, who still has presumably their weapon, to beat you, because wow, like, you still have your weapon, you have so much more options than me.
I do think, however, they need to add a way for you to not. I think you need to be not able to off-screen someone's disarmed weapon. I think that's too strong because, like, I mean, we only had it occur once in our matches, but I've seen it happen elsewhere where, like, if you get disarmed and then someone manages to, like, through, like, pressure, walk you off the screen so your sword is no longer on the screen, there's nothing you can do about that unless you pull off some, like, massive brain genius play. The round is over and it's just a matter of time.
There is one thing I want to talk about, but the way the game plays, which this is just a feeling, so I'm not like I haven't actually tested this and confirmed it, but I feel the move buffering is a bit weird, and this is based on offline play, not online play. It feels a lot of times like the game buffers motions, but it doesn't buffer the actual attack buttons. So you get sometimes in these weird situations where you turn around and you like end up with a DP or something like that.
Yes,
Like,
absolutely.
yeah, so I've had that. So I've been trying to like figure out what it is, and the best theory is like, yeah, it's buffering motions, but it doesn't actually buffer the exact button, which then also leads to some situations where when you have like there's this thing with Charlotte when you push the opponent forward, like when you grab them and you push them forward, like with a forward throw. She can follow it up with a low heavy hit, but I think there's like a range. Like, I think it's like you have to do it within a certain number of frames. So if you're just like pressing the button, you might mistime it and it'll actually not connect. Whereas if it was buffering, it would do it at the earliest possible moment. So that's why I'm thinking, like, yeah, it's probably doing that. It's like not buffering actual button presses for some reason.
Well, and it's especially egregious, I feel like, in cases like, I mean, a lot of these characters, the way their movesets are laid out, like, again, I'll go to Genjiro because that's the example I know. Genjiro's specials are 236, 623, 214, 421. So, like, quarter circles and DPs. And so you get, like, because of the very generous input, like movement, but not button buffering, you constantly get the wrong move.
There's something that feels off about it. And what else was there? There was also stuff like when you dash forward, like what I'm used to in other fighting games is like I would dash forward just a bit and then press an attack button so that when the dash ends, like at the earliest possible moment, my character attacks. But because it's not registering the attack button, what would happen is I would stop dashing, I would press the button, but I'm pressing that button during the dash recovery, so it just skips the button. So I like just walk and dash and stop and like stare like an idiot and get hit.
So dashing into a normal work doesn't really work very well, but dashing into a block works amazingly.
Yeah, it's very strange. And for example, one other thing I can do, which is like, this is so because this works like that, like it requires very precise input, but it also leads to really weird situations. Like, Charlotte has this neutral kick where she hops forward and like hits you with her knee, like Guile style. And the thing with that one is so fast, it is so safe that if you keep pressing kick and keep holding back, you can cancel the kick into a block. and it's safer for you to actually move forward with the knee than actually dashing forward. And in a lot of cases, it's safer than walking forward. So because it's like buffering the motion, so like you're automatically queuing up the block, but it does, but you can't like buffer attacks, so you can't. It's really weird. Hmm. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's a deal breaker how it handles it, but it definitely requires a lot of getting used to and a lot more, a lot less dirty inputs. Mm-hmm.
So what do you see the future of this game being, like, both for the game as a whole and also for you yourself?
So it's going to be... how this game is going to do is going to depend a lot on Evo, I think, because it's not more of like, oh, Evo is going to determine whether this game lives or dies. It's more like Evo is probably going to be the best indicator of how the FGC takes this game up as a like serious fighting game, because it's a main stage game. And like, even though I liked Fighting EX Layer, for example, like, you know, the FGC said just didn't pick that one up, but that one was more like a standard type of fighting game, so it had more competition. I feel this game might be able to fill in a niche. Kind of like how, I don't know, like how I say, like, okay, I play primarily Guilty Gear, for example, but I can also like maybe play Tekken because Tekken is a 3D fighter and that one plays differently enough that I don't mind switching between the two. Mm-hmm. This game kind of plays differently enough that if I were to say just like play Guilty Gear from now on or 100 Night in Birth, I could still say like, oh yeah, I don't mind playing Samurai Showdown. It feels different enough that I don't get the same thing as from other fighting games. Like, I don't like hopping particularly between Blaze Blue, Guilty Gear, Under Night, because they all feel very similar to me. Even though they're not, but like, they're not super similar, but like they're similar enough that I feel like I'm playing, or rather, I'm fulfilling the same need.
Sure. Sure.
Whereas with this one, the way it's paced and the way it plays, I cannot get that experience from, you know, a standard fighting game. So I don't mind playing this on the side. The same way I don't mind playing Dead or Alive on the side, because I get a completely different experience from that one. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I mean, I guess this is a game where, like, it feels to me like the kind of game where if someone says, like, hey, let's play Samurai Showdown, I'll say sure. But I think on my own time, I'm not going to as much because, yeah, I'm discovering that it's just not the style of fighting game I click with as naturally. I like hitting buttons. I like being an idiot. Doesn't play well with Samurai Showdown. You gotta be smart.
No, this game is very good at making you feel like an idiot.
And I am also very good at making me feel like an idiot, so the two of us together is perhaps a little too much for me to handle sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. No, if you ever felt like a dummy for doing a Shoryuken in Street Fighter and having it hard read and punished, this game is like every move feels like that practically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, okay, so who would we recommend this to? Who would you say should play Samurai Showdown?
Hey, if you've been playing Street Fighter and you're like, man, I just love Street Fighter so much, should play this game.
Yeah.
It feels similar to Street Fighter, but it's better. It's more interesting.
I think if you played Street Fighter 4 a lot and then tried to play 5 and it just didn't click, maybe you should move to this.
Mm-hmm. I also think that if you're a person who's just like, who enjoys fighting games but is just really bad at combos, I think this could be a pretty good option for you.
Yeah. If you were ever one of those people who went, man, I like fighting games, but like I wish I didn't have to do combos all the time and learn complicated combos and things like that, this is literally real actual fighting game. You don't have to learn the combos. Literally, you have to learn how to read your opponent. Like this is pretty much the... out of like 80% of the excuses I've heard for people who like can't get into fighting games, this is like for those people.
Yeah, for sure. I think there will be a lot of... I do think, though, the other thing is you have to be patient, just because I think it is very easy to feel like a dumbass more than other fighting games, and I think you have to be willing to take that.
Yeah, and I think you need to like accept that. Going back to the marketing hashtag embrace death, you have to accept that you will lose a lot and moves will punish you sometimes disproportionately much. Like, you will hit your opponent like 10 times with a special, and then he'll just do one move and catch up to you, and maybe even have a health lead, and you just have to accept that. Like, it's just, it's, the sooner you accept that just how this game works, the quicker you'll be to understand how to play it.
Yeah. Yeah, you always have to be looking for, like, you don't just have to be looking for the opening, you have to be looking for the opening that you're offering. You have to be constantly aware of the ways in which you could be hit, and let that make you inactive, because in this game, it's better to be careful and take your time than to try and rush to produce a result.
Yeah, and you have to, like, you have to respect all of your opponent's options, including that super that he can do only once per match at any point. You have to, like, keep in mind, yeah, like, they could even do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, Six, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. I have a pinned tweet that tells you all the stuff that I do, which seems to be more and more these days, which I'm excited about. I will specifically shout out the Patreon, patreon.com/scanlinemedia, where there's the Oops All Anime podcast for patrons. There's Oops More Anime Gundam Unicorn for not patrons. You can just listen to me and my friend Alan talk about Gundam for free. And then also on that Twitter page, the pinned tweet, you can see all the other free shows that I do, which is a lot.
All right, and you can find me on Twitter at MDKII, that's MDK Roman numerals 2. You can also check me out on Twitch. I stream a lot, including fighting games sometimes. It's twitch.tv/realsovietbear. And both my Twitter page and my Twitch page have a link to a bunch of other associated things, like my Discord, and YouTube page and other stuff I do. So check that out. Anyway, everybody, peace out. Bye.
Peace.
Hashtag embrace death.